Canadian politics is boring.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring, the show with me, Reese,
and Jesse,
and Jesse, and Jesse, and Jesse, and Reese again. So three Jessies and two Reeses
equals
a hell of a good time. But sadly, only two could turn up today, so yeah. Less of a good time. Hello, if you've never listened to the show before, which is now a thing that we should talk about, apparently. You either will think this is great,
not an educational podcast,
or somewhere in the middle. This is not an educational podcast, but it is about Canadian politics, and this is a mind blowing, kind of sad story.
Oh God, I fucking hate when you do this to me.
But there's
some gory as well.
The humor will come from how. No, it's not gory. Well, it is. People do get hurt.
Are we doing video again? Is this in VR?
No, this isn't on video. The battery ran out.
The battery, okay.
People will get hurt. There will be tears. But at the same time, you know, this is a comedy show, so we'll make fun of people's
misery. That's as we do.
We'll navigate it cautiously and look for... Let's both have a drink of water. They're like water.
There we go. All right.
Did you know your body is 100% water?
Yeah, that's what I've heard in science school.
Science school. Yep. Science club. When I was
behind the oak tree.
When I was a kid, I used to be in a club called the Real Cool Kids Cinema Club. And in one of the old miners institutes, which was basically the coal miners in Wales and across the UK would all pay a certain percentage of their wage towards building an institute. And in that institute, there would be like a theatre and a library, and they would teach each other to read because a lot of them hadn't been to school and things. So
that's actually really, this is cool. What?
So this is really cool.
So hold on. So the coal miners would...
They would start working traditionally, like before the 20th century, they started coal mining when they were kids. So a lot of the older miners didn't go to school to learn to read. But then they built these institutes where they could teach each other and have night classes and
learn amazing. Stuff like
that, which is really cool. And you would have they would have theatrical groups, and they would do like opera. And it was kind of like cultural enrichment for people who didn't have access to... But they all paid for it themselves at their own wages. And they still exist, the buildings. They're amazing. And they had a cinema in one of them. And I used to go there every Saturday morning with my pocket money, and I'd go and watch a film at the Real Cool Cinema.
Oh, it was actual cinema. And it wasn't like just a projector in like an auditorium. Like it was like a theater.
Some of them are like... This is one that I used to live down the road from, one, and it was a full 1930s Art Deco cinema. It was incredible.
Wow. And you had a club called the Real Cinema,
but anyway, you had a membership card, and a man came on stage with a backwards cap and a sunglasses, and his name was Cool Dave, and he'd go, "Hey kids," and it was basically like he would talk how he thought kids in the 90s wanted to hear cool people talk.
Right.
Kind of like imagine a British person trying to pretend they're part of Run DMC. Very much, but they've only ever heard of Run DMC. I've never listened to any of the music.
Who here's getting excited to watch
The Secret Garden?
Saving Private Ryan.
So my science knowledge comes from that club as a kid. I don't remember much of school, but I remember
that's where you learned science, was from the films that Cool Dave decided to show you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know, Ace Ventura.
Very scientifically accurate.
Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Well, I watched the sequel last night, by the way. It's very good.
Is it?
Bill and Ted Face the Music. Yeah, if you're a fan, it's a great sequel. It's an unnecessary sequel because it just doesn't need to exist. But I'm glad it does.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't wrap up a story that wasn't like it was hanging open for 25 years or anything like that.
The cliffhanger at the end of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey that I've been waiting all my life.
No, it's a really fun movie, honestly.
Anyway, should we talk about Canadian politics?
I mean, we so
you
often
did learn,
do.
You learned about the miners' institutes. That's cool.
That's true. That was Welsh politics.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, it was.
Was it political?
Yeah, it was. They were kind of part of the left-wing Labour movement, so technically it was. But
let's learn about Canadian...
We're getting dangerously close to politics. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
This episode is... Have you ever heard of Winnipeg's Bloody Saturday?
Oh, God, no. Oh, fuck. All right. No, I haven't.
My cool kids club was on Saturdays too. Same as Winnipeg's bloody Saturday. Anyway, okay. So
this is going to be depressing.
So the Winnipeg general strike. Have you heard of that?
No.
Have you heard of Winnipeg?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Good. And the word strike. Put them together. Of 1919 was one of the most famous and influential strikes in Canadian history. So basically, for 30,000 people went on strike from across all industries and jobs, wow, job descriptions in Winnipeg.
Which is a lot of people in 1919.
Yeah. For 6 weeks.
In Canada.
For 6 weeks over the summer.
For what? What was the purpose of the strike?
Well, because they were unhappy with the way that, with the living conditions, with inequality in society there.
This isn't like a specific company. This is multiple companies.
This was everyone.
Multiple employees in multiple companies.
Yeah, everyone was pissed off with just the way things were going in the city.
Who are they pissed off with?
Kind of the ruling elite and all the business owners and politicians.
So I'm a little confused. So like this,
a general strike is where everyone out of solidarity says, "Yeah, fuck this, I'm not going to work."
Okay, so it's not about the specific company they work for.
No. It's just like, this is shit. You're all rich. We're not. No, I'm just going to stop doing anything.
So it was kind of like a work labor camp sort of scenario, or
no. It was just a city. It was the third at the time. It was the third largest city in Canada. Wow. But it obviously is quite isolated.
Right.
You know, it's quite far away from everything. Especially then, it was harder.
Yeah. Tell me about the strike. I don't really.
So,
why were they striking?
There were lots. Basically, they were social inequality. Impoverishment with the working class, so they bad quality living accommodation mixed with low wages, low quality food, wages were low, prices were rising, employment was unstable, there was a lot of discrimination against new immigrants,
so
housing and also health, apparently healthcare was just almost non-existent if you're poor as well.
I mean, with the exception of healthcare, I guess my question, I don't know a ton about economics, to be fair, but like, who were they striking against? It just sounds to me like a shitty scenario that just kind of happens.
Well, that's the thing with the general strike.
Was there a person in charge who could fix this? Like,
well, it was a systematic thing. So general strikes, I think, tend to be when everyone is like, this system is rigged against us. There's nothing we can do about this. And somehow everyone decides to unite at the same time.
I've never heard of that before. That's interesting.
A general strike is amazing because you just stop everything and the people at the top shit their pants because they're like, it's like, you know the film Bug's Life, where the bugs finally realize?
I love that movie. Yeah.
It's basically Bug's Life.
I'm going to go home and watch Bug's Life after this.
So a general strike is Bug's Life, where the ants realize that there's way more of them than the crickets. What are they? Crickets. And that if they just...
Grasshoppers.
And if they just stop listening, then the grasshoppers are actually massively exposed and the minority.
Right.
So a general strike is that. God, I sound very left wing. If you all just stop working... Scare the shit out of
you're the foreign leftist.
I'm a foreign leftist. So imagine Bug's Life, but in the early 20th century. So 30,000, basically, private, public sector, it didn't really matter. It was almost the entire working population.
Wow.
Just stopped working altogether.
It wasn't about... any one person's decision-making process. It was just about the fact that, like, our living scenario fucking sucks. And none of it, we're just going to stop working until people in power above us do something to fix this.
Yes. But everyone agreed, everyone working, including the police. The police stroke as well.
Yep, I'm going to use that as thing. Is when it's striked, stroke, the stricken.
Went on strike, striked.
I like stroke.
The police, they voted for the police to stay on duty because they were like, well, even though everyone's striking, we, the strikers, think the police should remain on duty to keep order.
In case we get out of hand as
strikers? No, just because they thought it was probably a good idea for the police not
as strickeners?
I guess as a prevention to like looting if everyone should. Sure. And then the other thing was the waterworks. People at the waterworks said, we'll stay at working because people need water.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
So,
sounds organized.
So the first to leave work at 7 a.m. So this happened, what was the day that happened on? May the 15th. So at 7 a.m., the telephone operators or the hello girls, the people who used to go, hello, who would you like to speak to? And the old fashioned
hello girls?
Yeah. You pick up the phone.
It sounds dirty.
It does. But it was just generally at the time women did
hello.
That job.
Hello.
Hello girls. They went on strike first, which basically meant the phone network went down.
Oh, all right.
And then on that day as well, soldiers, veterans of World War One, basically announced their support of the strike. Apparently the atmosphere was festive and the belief in ultimate victory strong. So it was very chilled. The only thing at the time, the Strike Bulletin, which was a newspaper that was published to keep everyone informed on how the strike was going, said,
"That's amazing.
The only thing workers have to do to win this strike is do nothing. Just eat, sleep, play, love, laugh, look at the sun. Our fight consists
until the food runs out power runs out."
But our fight consists of doing no fighting. That was their attitude. Was if we just stop, they have to listen to us. They have to improve things.
It's the entire town.
Yeah, everyone working.
What town was it? Was it a town?
It was a city. It was Winnipeg.
We're talking about Winnipeg
at the time,
right,
the third largest city in Canada.
Right. Okay.
So imagine
you
that.
Told me that.
Imagine
and
if
I totally
everyone
forgot it.
But again, they were just like, well, not quite like Bugs Life. There wasn't like a circus of exotic bugs involved, but it doesn't match. It's a good allegory, but it's not an exact match.
So 30,000 people in Winnipeg in 1919.
So then they built a giant bird out of twigs to scare them. So 30,000 people, the entire working population. So what happened was the city's elite were not happy, as you
of
can
course.
Imagine.
Right.
They stopped making money.
Yeah.
And nobody gave a shit anymore. And if everyone collectively stops giving a shit, then the whole structure of society falls apart.
Or it gets better, depending on your viewpoint.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it falls apart as we know.
I mean, 30,000 people were instructed to play, eat, and sleep until things got even better.
And win the fight by not fighting. That's great.
Right, yeah.
So what happened was they initiated nighttime raids and the arrests of people who'd organized this general strike.
They did what?
Nighttime raids. Of
who organized this?
The people who'd organized and were printing the newspaper and were like had got behind getting the whole city to shut down. They arrested them.
So like the people in power organized nighttime raids.
Yes.
On the people who are organizing the riots.
Yeah. Organizing the strike.
Riots, the strike, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So basically they decided to try and decapitate the organization that organized the general strike.
What was their plan?
Arrest them.
Okay.
So
in the middle of the night, though.
In the middle of the night.
Why?
Because everyone's
night?
Asleep.
I guess.
You're not expecting it. You're not ready for it. You know, I sleep with my eyes open and I hold a samurai sword, so I'd be ready for them.
No one expects the Winnipeg Inquisition.
Exactly.
Right.
By the way, I don't sleep with my eyes open and I don't own a samurai.
It's just weird. I don't know why I glossed over that.
I know. Just because Jesse didn't. I thought you were too afraid. Did he bring the sword to work? So the protest, the people on strike decided to have a silent parade in front of the city hall to protest the arrests. But the leaders who got out on bail said don't, because they didn't want things to turn nasty. They were trying to keep the tensions low and everyone just stopped doing anything. But on June the 21st at 2:30, a crowd of 6,000 people headed towards City Hall. And Mayor Charles Gray came out and said to them that civic authorities had absolutely committed themselves to the breaking up of any demonstrations, adding that women taking part in the parade do so at their own risk.
That sounds threatening.
And you better look out, women.
Jesus Christ. Anyway. Are you cracking your knuckles as part of the demonstration?
No, I just cracking my women. My knuckles need
you
to
better
crack
look
it.
Out.
Better look out, women.
There's a t-shirt.
Try and stop me if there's a riot. I think he was basically saying that they'll beat women as much as they'll beat men. So it was a kind of sexual equality, I guess. A very early form of sexual equality.
That's great.
So around the same time as he was berating the crowd, a streetcar was running along the main street there and was surrounded by the crowd. And the car was being run by replacement workers who were basically there to...
Oh, scabs.
Yeah, scabs. And they rocked the car from side to side. They were unable to tip it over entirely, but they smashed the windows, climbed inside and slashed the seats to set on fire. And there's a picture. There's a picture of them rocking heavy-looking car.
Oh, my God.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
So the Northwest Mounted Police Headquarters requested emergency assistance. So what happened was they turned up and they arrived with horses and clubs.
Who was this again?
The Northwest Mounted Police.
Okay. Horses and clubs.
Horses and clubs.
That sounds fun.
So they charged the crowd, knocking people down, forcing them off the street, and battered them with clubs. And the crowd started to fight back, so they threw rocks and bricks, and the parade then technically became a riot. I guess right. It was a riot when they set fire to a thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. So this all could have been avoided if they had just stayed home and...
Well, yeah.
So, slept and ate and hung out in the sun.
What do you think happens when you throw rocks at Mounties in 1919?
Same thing that happens when you throw rocks at Mounties in 2021.
Yeah, they pull their pistols and they shoot at you.
Right, yeah.
So they kick their horses into full gallop and charged while firing their pistols into the mob.
Jesus Christ.
And two bullets went through the legs of Steve Sevenabowich, who died 2 days later of gangrene.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
And the police continued their charge, circling the block and containing City Hall. They were just firing guns. And a guy named Mike Sokolowski dropped dead. He was shot straight through the heart.
Jesus. Again,
based on these names, you can tell they were recent immigrants from Eastern Europe. So
I'm betting the trolley wasn't like... It sounds to me like... If the trolley bringing in replacement workers happened at the same time that this riot was going on.
Well, it was a silent parade at first. It was supposed to be a peaceful protest.
Was it? Because it sounds like that's too coincidental timing. Like the silent parade in quotes police, was happening because people knew that the replacement workers were coming in that day so that they could prevent it from happening. Yeah.
And then just around the corner, armed police on horses are waiting too. And also, they then they cornered... into an alleyway, a bunch of the protesters, and they had 200 club wielding specials on foot.
What?
And they basically afterwards became referred to as Hell's Alley. So they basically just beat the shit out of everyone.
They had 200.
They cornered them, armed specials, who were basically special officers, not full police officers. They're kind of volunteers.
People volunteering to beat the shit out of rioters.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the general strike probably scared a lot of people. Especially if you were benefiting from the structure that other people felt was unfair, then you would probably pick up a club to go, I want to be upper middle class.
I guess that's...
Or middle class. Or even lower middle class. So they were trapped. Yeah, they were trapped in the alleyway and just beaten mercilessly.
Fun.
By six,
fun storytelling by 6
p.m. By 6 p.m., the military turned up from Fort Osborne Barracks with bayonets, rifles, and machine guns mounted on the back of
vehicles
to take control of the streets.
Machine guns!
And Winnipeg fell under brief military rule for the first time in history that a Canadian city was overtaken and run by the military.
Holy fuck.
And then the strike, they decided to end the strike because obviously...
They had machine guns.
They turned up with machine guns.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay.
You want to change society? Well, we've got machine guns. So, and they basically agreed.
They didn't fire the machine guns on anybody, did they?
No, but you just turn up. You've already shot people.
Right.
They've already set a precedent that we're willing to shoot you. And then you turn up with a gun that can shoot lots of you.
Right. It's disturbing as fuck.
Yeah. So they agreed to go.
Dark history of Winnipeg.
And the worst part is when they decided to go back to work, some people refused to rehire the people who were on strike. They couldn't get a job in the city anymore. They just brought in more replacements. There were people waiting for those jobs from other places.
Right.
And a lot of them lost any kind of standing they had in the companies as managers, and they had to start back again at the bottom at the lowest wage as well.
Wow.
They were allowed to get their jobs back if they signed an anti-strike loyalty pledge as well.
Wow.
And the critics
That's
called the
probably illegal today.
Well, I'm they guessing. Called it. It was technically called the Slave Pact because it essentially meant you were signing up to agree and to have a job in return for a job with no rights.
Right.
And it remained there until 1930. That pact. So people were bound by that for almost a decade
that's
or over
insane.
A decade. So
wow.
So that's how. That's like Bug's Life, except in the end...
The grasshoppers won.
They just smashed Flick's face to pieces.
The grasshoppers showed up with machine guns.
They did.
That'd be a dramatically different Pixar film.
Exactly. So the bad guys won in that one.
Well, this is depressing.
And workers' rights were actually further diminished rather than...
Thanks for sharing, I guess.
If you're interested on going on a general strike, probably best to make sure there's more than just you involved.
Right.
Because technically that means you're just not doing your job anymore.
It's just, you're just quitting, really, honestly.
But nobody ever really talks about general strikes because...
I've never heard of the general strike before. That's fascinating.
Because they're terrifying to people who... To people who think that there's that meaningful change has to come out of a particular way. If everybody just stopped doing everything...
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, like... I don't have the answers, but it does show that there are flaws in the system, right? Like, if an entire infrastructure can be created where the people, the workers themselves, are poor, basically, and their only option is to strike, and the owners of the city, the workers, the owners of the companies, the owners of the city, they're like, fuck it, whatever. Let's just bring in other workers. We don't give two flying fucks about these people. What are the, like, it's a domino effect, right? They're like, shit, our peaceful protest is not working. We have to now try to knock over this trolley train full of displacement workers. And it just keeps escalating. It's like, they're knocking over a trolley. Let's bring in fucking machine guns on horses or something. Was that it? That's
terrifying. But all it shows you, though, is that the people were unwilling to even have a conversation to go, well, hang on, these are our neighbors. We live in this city, which is quite far away from everything else.
Right.
These are our neighbors. Our children could get married in the future. We're in this. This is a society that we're building together. Rather than speak to them and see if we can find things we can do to make their lives a little bit better, some incentives of maybe we'll increase wages, maybe we'll build some new houses somewhere that are nicer, maybe we'll try and
here you are, Reese, bringing things back to being civil again.
But Jesus. But rather than that, they just wanted to shoot them, intimidate them with machine guns, and then. Demoralize them further. That was the answer. Was like, no, we're not even gonna negotiate with you. This is the old, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
We don't negotiate with poor workers who want better wages.
Yeah, we don't negotiate with the desperate. We shoot you.
Desolate, yeah.
We shoot you.
It's like, depressing as fuck, Reese. Thanks for that story. That's great.
That's good. I want to encourage
More general strikes.
And imagine if we kind of had a COVID general strike, but nobody had a choice. But it gives you an idea of what if you could...
A COVID general strike?
Well, no one was able to do their jobs.
Oh, right.
So it was kind of... You've already got a taste for it.
It was an involuntary strike.
An involuntary strike, exactly. So now that you've got a taste for it, it's a great way to get things happening. Either it'll go either two ways. It'll work, or you'll get intimidated and maybe shot. That's the way they tend to go.
That's great. Thank you for that. This has just been a hilarious episode once again in the... Thanks.
No problem. Well, anyway, I mean, and they say nothing ever happens in Winnipeg. I don't know who they are, but they're full of shit.
Yeah, that's what they say.
They're full of shit.
When people say, have you been to Winnipeg? The typical answer is no, nothing ever happens in Winnipeg.
if anybody says, you've ever been to Winnipeg, you go, you mean the Winnipeg with the famous 1919 general strike? And they go, yeah, that one. No, I haven't been there. That's how I'll answer it.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
Have you ever heard of Winnipeg? Yes. I've heard of the general strike of 1919.
With the machine guns on horseback.
Yeah. And also it was the central nexus point of the American invasion plan, if you remember back to the War Plan Red episode.
Yep,
because
that was good. Because
it's where all the train lines meet and there was a Boston Pizza. If I remember correctly.
You are absolutely remembering accurately.
Wikipedia.
A mind like a steel trap, Reese.
All on Wikipedia. Anyway, thank you for listening about Manitoba, Winnipeg.
Reese does more research than just Wikipedia. That's his joke. It's his little joke, by the way, I think. Do you do more than just Wikipedia? He's looking back and forth sheepishly.
It's like, don't talk about the nuclear bomb in Alberta. Shh. No, I do sometimes it's a good starting point because they link to external articles by more reputable sources. So I think it's valid to reference Winnipeg.
Let's reference Winnipeg. Thanks.
Winnipegopedia.
Someone make a wiki. Please, someone make
Winnipegopedia.
Winnipegopedia. Yeah,
is everything you need to know about Winnipeg.
Yeah, a Wikipedia about Winnipeg and only Winnipeg. any links that go out to references outside of Winnipeg are automatically deleted.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's just.
Cool.
Well, I think everyone should go to our Instagram feed. Do you know, I posted...
This is the call to action.
I was sat at my desk in work and I could do this... noise outside.
Oh, I saw that.
And there
video.
Was a raven.
Yeah, just standing on your...
staring at me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. So at some point, it's an omen. So
is that what that means? So.
Yeah. So if...
did you hear three slow knocks? The death knocks?
No, but he was screaming at me. And I don't speak raven because my father wasn't Bigfoot. but it turns out that it flew away then as I approached it, and I caught it all on camera. So if you want to see the omen of my death, then go on Instagram.
Go on Instagram, yeah. Canadian politics is boring. Instagram.
And there if you've go. Got an omen of your death, share it with us.
Yep, that's we enjoy those emails.
I love omens of death.
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com. Send us your videos of omens of death.
Yay!
And we'll share them on Instagram.
Thanks.
Well, that was a depressing episode. Thanks so much for educating me about...
No, but it was an important one.
Sure.
It was another, you know, life imitating art or whatever the quote was. See you next time.
Bye.